You may be seated. Well, welcome. Good morning. It's great to see you here this morning, to have you join us in worship. If we haven't had a chance to meet, my name is Melissa. It's great to see you, and welcome to those watching online and also upstairs in the chapel. Well, this fall, we have been studying the one another passages in the New Testament, the scriptures that tell us how to be in Christian community. So let's do a quick review of where we've been walking since September. Pastor Nathaniel started us off in John 13, verse 34, where Jesus commands us to love one another as he has loved us. And then next, Pastor Terry spoke to us from 1 Peter chapter 4, where we are exhorted to use our gifts to serve one another. Pastor Dan reminded us from Romans chapter 12 that we are to live in harmony with one another, and that reconciliation is the gospel. I spoke a few weeks ago from Colossians 3 that since we have been raised with Christ, we are not to lie to each other, but instead to bear with and forgive one another. And last week, Pastor Mike preached from Hebrews chapter 10 on the importance of encouragement for one another. As we close this series of the one another passages this morning, I want to draw out an underlying principle that is present in all of these scriptures. And that principle is generosity. You see, in every instance of practicing these one another commands, it's understand that we don't love just a little, or reconcile a bit, or maybe encourage one another once in a while. But when Jesus says, "As I have loved you, so you must love one another," let me ask you, what comes to mind? As Jesus loved you, so you must love one another. I hope what comes to mind is the cross, where he stretched out his arms for us. He gave it all. So what does a community shaped by these one another commands look like when it's fueled by the same spirit of generosity that we see in God? The title of my message today is The One Another's in Action, A Generous Life. So to begin with, as we get started, I actually want to acknowledge for a moment the culture of generosity that we have here at McKernan. For the sake of time, I'm only going to highlight a few things, but did you know that we have 23 young adults who come every Wednesday night and several Fridays a month to hang out and lead our junior high and high school students? Woohoo! I know, right? 23, and they don't do it just for 1 year. Many do it for year after year, walking with our kids through junior high and high school. Like, that's astounding generosity. If you're here on a Wednesday night, you will see our MEL volunteers Wednesday nights, Saturday mornings, people in the kitchen cooking up amazing meals. We have Freedom Session facilitators who are giving each at least 150 hours in a year to help bring transformation in people's lives. You know, then we have our tech team, our worship band this morning. Let's give a hand for them. Like, they're here practicing on Saturday mornings. We also have our board members that serve and provide leadership for us. Like, there are so many ways in which you give. And there are those that have opened up their homes to people in need. Their very homes, and welcome people in for days, weeks, months at a time. The generosity that's already present here just blows my mind regularly. And so I just want you to know, like, I am so filled with gratitude for you and how you reflect the generosity of our Lord. Today, we're going to be looking at the Apostle Paul's directions to the church in Corinth. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. We're going to be looking at verses 6 to 15. It's also going to be on the screen. And if you are able, please stand as we read together. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor, their righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please have a seat. Well, let me take a moment and just give you the bigger context, the bigger picture of what's going on in this passage. Paul's ministry, part of it was to remember and care for the poor. And in particular, Paul collected donations for the Jewish church in Jerusalem. You see, in the early days of the church, Jews who embraced the way of Christ were seriously persecuted, often imprisoned and stoned to death. And not only this, but there was, of course, also the Roman Empire that was oppressing that whole area. And now we also need to understand that this was an agrarian culture and economy, and so their resources were very much dependent on the weather. And famine in this time was frequent and challenging and difficult. So what's going on is this. There's this home church in Jerusalem, home base, where the disciples first began sharing about the gospel, first in their city in Jerusalem, then into the wider areas, and then extending out further into the Roman Empire. Disciples have been sent out, like Paul, going to places like Turkey, Greece, and Italy. But that home church in Jerusalem is suffering. They have made huge sacrifices, including their own lives, just to follow Jesus and to share with others the good news. So as a result, Paul has a strong sense of responsibility to care for his home church by inviting newer churches that he was planting to share some of their resources. Because you see, the one another commands don't apply just to our own little space and community. They are meant to be expressed broadly to others, to across the church. So in this context, Paul is specifically writing to the Corinthians about a monetary gift, but he is also writing about the nature of generosity. And there are three principles of generosity from this text that I would like us to take hold of today. First, generosity is a mindset. It's a frame of mind. Second, generosity makes no excuses and it has no limitations. And third, generosity leads to thanksgiving. So for our first point, generosity is a mindset. Let me do just a quick test with you this morning. I thought about making this water dyed, like with red, but I thought better of it when I considered our facilities manager and our cleaning people, and like, what if this dumped over and I had red water all over this carpet? So if you can see, this is a jar full of water, but it's only half full. So may I ask you, is it half full of water or is it half empty of water? Now, if this was a jar half full of money, would it be half full to the top or half full to the bottom? Which way do you see it? Now, for the second, I want you to think back to April of 2020 and tell me if this brings anxiety to you. One roll of toilet paper left in the package. Who hoarded up toilet paper like it was the best treasure ever, and who was frantic to make sure they had at least a roll for their family? Does this bring to mind any, for you, where your mindset might be? Do you have a mindset towards abundance? Or do you have a mindset towards scarcity? You see, it's far more common in our human nature to feel a sense of scarcity and lack. We feel we don't have enough time, enough energy, enough money, enough food, enough friends, enough toilet paper. There are so many things. Fill in the blank for yourself. What do you not have enough of today? And that is our human nature going right back to the Garden of Eden, where Adam and Eve had everything they needed, and yet they still were tempted to want more. Scarcity is the result of our fallen and broken world. Injustice and poverty are real issues, and they require solutions. We want to be part of the ongoing solution. And so one small measure we took part of today was to bring donations for the campus food bank and warm clothing for those in need. But scarcity, while it is a fact in our world today, is also a mindset that the gospel does not want us to operate in. Paul writes in the chapter before, in 2 Corinthians 8, we are to excel in the grace of giving. But if we're feeling lack, how do we learn to excel in the grace of giving? So what does a mindset on generosity look like? Let's look at verses 6 and 7 from our passage today. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. A mindset on generosity sows abundantly in faith, knowing they will reap a generous harvest. It's a principle. But you know, it takes faith to plant a seed and believe that it will grow and produce something of value. So a generous person, though, doesn't give because they can see it, they can see the outcome. A generous person sows in faith. And a mindset on generosity is also not looking at what their neighbors are giving or what they're not giving. A generous person is not influenced by outside pressure or expectation. Instead, they will look at their own context, their own resources and their skills, and they will look to see where God is inviting them to give, so that without guilt or shame, a generous person can give with delight as they are inwardly directed to. They're not under compulsion. A generous person remembers that for the joy set before him, Christ endured the cross. Did you know that Jesus found joy in giving up his very life for us? And a generous person seeks to discover that same heavenly joy in the ways that they give. So generosity is a mind set on giving in faith and giving with joy. Number two, generosity makes no excuses and has no limitations. I have heard it said many times, when I have X, then I will be generous. When I have that full-time job, then I will give to missions. When my kids are older, then I will volunteer. When life gets less busy, then I will find ways to give back to my community. And I can personally come up with a number of excuses myself. But generosity doesn't start when we have an abundance of resources. The resources come as we express generosity. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, again, the chapter before, I want us to look at what the Macedonian church did. Paul writes, "And now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. In the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability. Entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the Lord's people." The Macedonian church, the believers there were in extreme poverty, Paul tells us, and yet they were eager to give to the church in Jerusalem. And did you catch that they counted it a privilege to give? When's the last time you and I, as we maybe donated some money or we gave generously to a cause, that we said, wow, what a privilege? Instead of excuses, a generous person knows that it's a privilege to give. Now let's look again in our passage today, chapter 9, verse 8, in the Amplified translation of it. "And God is able to make all grace, every favor and earthly blessing come in abundance to you, so that you may always, under all circumstances, regardless of the need, have complete sufficiency in everything, being completely self-sufficient in him, and have an abundance for every good work and act of charity." Now, if I were to be honest with you this morning, I kind of want to temper this verse back. I want to protect God's reputation and say that we'll have what we need, but don't expect abundance. And part of that reluctance on my part is that I am aware that by the standards of living across the world, I am so richly blessed. I have a place to call home. I have clean running water coming out of my taps. I have this thing in my kitchen, it's called a fridge, that keeps my food cool or frozen, preserving it for days. Like, that is a privilege. I could go to the grocery store and buy strawberries in January. Like, the amount of blessing that we receive here is astounding. And I want us to know that it is important to remember our blessings so that self-pity doesn't creep in. However, this is not what this verse is addressing. You see, Paul makes this amazing statement that as we go forward in generosity, God will sufficiently and abundantly supply the resources for our generosity. There's no limit on what God can and will do. And while that could be in the area of finances, it's more than that. It's about there's more than enough time in God. Did you know that? If you're feeling that lack of time, if you're feeling like it's too late, there is more than enough time in God. There's more than enough strength and energy for what he's asked you to do today. And if you're walking through hard challenges and health diagnoses, do you know that there's more than enough grace in him to receive those and to find his joy in the midst of those trials? Because God has no limit on his generosity, we should have no limits on what or how we might reflect back that generosity. I heard of a story recently of a couple who felt stirred by the Lord to explore generosity. And now they already were giving to their church and other organizations, and yet God was doing something in them. And so when this unexpected opportunity presented themselves, they knew immediately what their response should be. You see, they heard of a young father with an autoimmune disease whose life was going to be cut short, and he needed a liver transplant. And the wife knew, she, with her medical background, she knew the risks, she knew what was involved, and she said, "I can give a portion of my liver." And that was how generosity was expressed in their lives, that invitation from God to give in such a sacrificial way. Generosity makes no excuses, and it has no limitations in how it is expressed. And finally, generosity leads to gratitude. Looking at verses 11 through 13, let me just sum them up here by what Paul is saying. He's saying, when we choose to be generous, God's going to supply what is needed. So you can be generous in all sorts of ways. Now, generosity is going to produce gratitude in others. And that generosity is going to be evidence that the gospel is transforming our lives. And because our lives are being transformed, other people are going to give thanks to God for his work in us. And not only that, they're going to passionately pray and intercede for us because they have been blessed. Generosity creates blessing, which creates thanksgiving. And the cycle continues. It's this beautiful thing where our generosity is creating not only meeting needs, but encouraging one another in the Lord, displaying the love of Christ in one another, serving out of our gifts. I want to give you a recent example of how this was at work in my own life. Last week, I was to accompany a couple to a medical appointment, but I realized the morning of that I double booked myself. You been there? And you're like, oh no. And I reached out to a dear sister and asked if she had the time and the capacity to step in for me. I knew that she had the skills and to be able to come alongside in this appointment, but how likely is it that she'd be available just a few hours before? And yet, she graciously and generously gave of her time to the great appreciation of this couple and to myself. I was so moved by her generosity that actually later in the day I found myself just praying blessing over her and interceding in her life. I didn't know what was going on for her, but I just felt moved in my heart just to give thanks to God and for him to meet her needs. Well, a couple days later, I connected with that sister, and she explained that she had just finished having a really difficult conversation with a family member. She fully expected it to go poorly. She was just dreading having this conversation. And instead, that conversation went so well. She was literally dancing and just filled with surprise and gratitude to God. And then I got to share with her, I was praying for you and just interceding for you. And we had this moment together of, wow, like, isn't God good? So out of generosity creates blessing, which creates thanksgiving and prayers of intercession. The cycle continues to move and go on. friends, in the one another commands for our community, we want to have a mind set on Christ in our generosity, which makes no excuses. And since it has no limitations, it leads to deep gratitude and prayers of blessing. Because as you know, as we generously love others, our love will increase. As we generously serve in the areas of our gifts will grow. As we generously forgive and choose reconciliation, our compassion will increase. And as we generously bear with each other through difficult challenges, our capacity will increase. As we generously encourage one another, our strength in the faith will grow. Now, I want to come back to the mindset of scarcity. Because we may want to walk in generosity, but an unholy belief and bond to scarcity can block us. Did you know that what we believe can actually block our ability to walk in the things that God calls us to? Because what we believe deeply is powerful, and it's either going to draw us closer to the Lord or send us in the other direction. Today, do you need to confess and repent of a scarcity mindset? A heart bent towards scarcity cuts us off from the abundance of God. For some of you, that scarcity might include there's not enough love in this marriage for it to survive. For others, it might be, I don't have enough strength or capacity to parent this child. Maybe it's, I don't have enough faith to make it through this health challenge. Maybe that scarcity mindset didn't start with you. Maybe you can actually see it through in your parents and in your grandparents. Maybe it came down to you. Or perhaps you are blaming a person or a circumstance for the lack in your life, for the scarcity that you feel. Whatever it is, we can ask Jesus to begin a transformational work in us today. So if that maybe describes you in some way, I'd invite you to pray along with me, maybe out loud quietly to yourself. There's going to be a prayer on the screen to follow. And where there's a blank, fill it in as it fits you. So if you'd like to bow your heads, and those of you that want to pray, please join me as it's on the screen. Father, I come to you through Jesus Christ to confess and repent of a scarcity mindset. I see how it has affected me in. I choose to stop blaming for this and accept my responsibility in how the belief of scarcity has impacted my life. Please forgive me of my sin and wash me clean by the shed blood of Jesus, who bore all my sin on the cross, and by his wounds I am healed. Thank you, Father, that you are faithful and just, and you have forgiven me. Jesus, I ask you to come and lift out all consequences that have been in my life because of this sin, this belief. Jesus, break off any chain that binds me to a belief in scarcity. Amen. As we close today, I invite you to stand if you are able, and let's pray this prayer together. Today, Father, I choose to receive your generosity, which is abundantly more than I could imagine. Enlarge my understanding of what it means to reflect your generosity to others. Holy Spirit, enable and equip me to recognize opportunities to practice generosity. For your honor and glory, I pray. Amen. Mm-hmm.